Hello and welcome to Shuffling Notes, where we discuss songs, albums, artists, and all things music. Today, we have something special planned for you.
Welcome to Shuffling Notes, and this is episode one of Knights of the Turntable.
So I'm your co-host, Prankit.
I'm your co-host, Razi.
And today we'll be discussing a band called Coldplay, specifically their sixth studio album called Ghost Stories. And we have someone very special to discuss this album with, Coldplay's number one superfan, Suraj.
Hey guys, hello.
How are you doing, Suraj?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
So, yeah, good. Looking forward to this discussion. This is the very first time we've had a guest on. But I think it's always nice to get different perspectives, especially one from a super fan.
No, I'm
sure. you have to put the super fan tag next to, you know, when the names come up. Coldplay were a British rock band formed in London in 1996, comprised of Chris Martin, who is the vocalist, rhythm guitarist, and pianist, and the lead guitarist, Johnny Buckland, bassist, Guy Berryman, and drummer, Will Champion. Was that correct, Suraj?
Yeah, that's right. But all I know is that I think Johnny and Chris Martin met each other in 1996, where they were studying, and the first single that they recorded was in 1998, if I'm not wrong.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Nice. The band came to prominence, I think, with the song Yellow in 2000, right? That really pushed them into the limelight. Yeah. But we're actually discussing Ghost Stories, their sixth studio album, which was released in 2014. So Suraj, you know, let's start with you. What was your sort of impressions of Ghost Stories? And, you know, as you're the one who actually selected this album, I just wanted to get a bit more context of why Ghost Stories?
So it's weird that I had heard other songs of Coldplay, like, you know, Parachutes. I'd heard the album Parachutes, but Rush of Blood to the Head, The Scientist, Fix You, like, you know, all of those popular songs, A Sky Full of Stars. But Ghost Stories was this one album which just came in, and I listened to the whole thing, and, you know, it came in like a breeze. So it has such a sadness in it, like, you know, it's all blue. The whole album is so blue, and the best thing about the album is that, you know, it kind of reminds me of The Dark Side of the Moon. I'll tell you, there's a particular reason for that, because the whole album sounds like one track. If you listen to it carefully, they do that, right. So which was quite well done. And I mean, that was one thing. And obviously, like, you know, the kind of soothing synth effect, or like the way they've used electronic music with such sadness, was something very appealing to me. Like, you know, they made really good songs before that, and I love all of their songs. I've listened to each and every song of theirs, but Ghost Stories was something which was really personal to me.
Yeah, like, you know, set it apart a little bit for you.
Interesting.
Yeah, how about you, Razi? Were you a big fan at the time Ghost Stories came out? Was it an album you were looking forward to, or was it something you heard afterwards?
I think Ghost Stories would be the first Coldplay album that I was looking forward to listen to. This was after this online marketing trend and social media platforms and everything started. And that's when Ghost Stories, like, there's Ghost Stories going to be announced. And then I was having a lookout for Ghost Stories. Yeah. And, but I was just I was going to point out the same thing, like, every song ends on a note similar that's going to start for the next song, right?
And it flows very well.
That, yeah, so that's true. I mean, Dark Side of the Moon is it's the perfect reference, I guess.
yeah, interesting one. I think for myself, you know, it was I'd heard of Coldplay quite a bit, but I wasn't. And I never have been very aware of their music. Like, I've heard a lot of their songs, But it's one of those things where I've never really gotten the chance to like sit down and really listen to a Coldplay album back to back. So this was the first time I've actually done that, and Ghost Stories being the first album. And yeah, it's, you know, it's, I've got a lot of thoughts about it. And I suppose we'll, you know, dive into it track by track. But yeah, it is very impactful, and it's very, there's something to it, right? The melancholy and the electronic music and the way it's put together and the voice, like the way he sings, Chris Martin, like there's the sadness to it almost. I think it fits in very well with this style. I'm just seeing, you know, it's a bit more housekeeping. The album sort of won the Best Pop Vocal Award, 57th Grammy.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And 2015 Billboard Music Awards. When it was nominated Top Rock Album. So, Riz, if you didn't know that, then maybe I have it wrong here.
I'm not much into awards.
What was my source? Wikipedia. Let me go change it.
Maybe. But yeah, you were saying about melancholy, like I really like that point, because Ghost Story is one of those albums which explores the idea of, like, you know, past actions.
Yeah.
Like, you know, a person's past actions and the effects that they can have on your future, or like, you know, on your capacity of unconditional love, in that zone, which I like every song. So Chris Martin made this album like it's supposed to be that way. I am not sure if the band intended to do it like that, but it was made after Chris Martin's breakup with his wife, Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah,
that's right. And all of the songs talk about breakup at some point.
Yeah.
Like, you know, all of the songs in Ghost Story. So, which is,
Really, yeah, to sum it up, it's just a familiar story that has an unfamiliar note to it, right? Okay. Like it's a very celestial kind of feeling that I get from Ghost Stories. Like it's completely out in space.
Yeah, exactly. Outer space.
Yeah.
Like, believe in aliens and shit.
Yeah. Sort of. Yeah. Like and actually, you know, going back to Suraj's point, I think I have a quote here from Chris Martin, and he actually says it right. Like, the idea of Ghost Stories for me was, how do you let the things that happened to you in the past, your ghosts, how do you let them affect your present and your future? And I think that is very much what I think Suraj was summarizing there, right? And it goes to the name, right? Ghost Stories, why that name?
Okay.
Very interesting, right?
So,
yeah, and I think just one more thing to mention, I think, you know, when I was researching this album, one of the things they mentioned was that this was one of the first albums where Chris got the band to contribute a lot more in, like, the songwriting process. So, like, so generally, I think the way they did things is build songs off Chris Martin's ideas.
Correct.
This time, like, for example, Magic was built off like the bass riff that guy had at the, you know, in the song. So they've taken, I think there's a bit more band contribution happening.
Yeah.
On a musical level, a personal level, I think it's very much Chris and his breakup.
Yeah.
Wouldn't agree.
That is. Yeah.
It's a very personal album. At the same time, it's one where I think the band has perhaps contributed more.
Correct. They just, everybody just came up and got in their thing going on. Like, you know, their personal things. So, yeah.
Yeah. And the art on it as well. I think the what do you call it?
Oh, yeah.
The album art and stuff is just, aren't they going to, like, didn't they showcase it at a museum or something at some point? I remember
hearing something about it. I'm not sure about it, but... Yeah. But it's beautiful, like, you know, the way it's made. I mean, it includes, like, a lot of small figurines. Like, you know, if you would look at it closely, like, it has a couple in it. Has, like...
I have it open right here in front of me.
Actually. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So it has this circular maze sort of a thing. It's like a girl with a candlelight or, like, like, you know, stuff like that. So it's really interesting that way. Like, it's trying to talk about a lot of things, and it has a lot of symbolic meanings, which I don't know if I'll ever be able to figure out, or anybody else, but only, like, they know, like, what they were, you know, really going for. Yeah.
Perfect. Is there anything else you guys want to add? Yeah.
Yes, there is so one extra background that there is. The producer was the same as Milo Zuloto.
Not sure.
So so he returned after that album. So if you notice, there are, like, since I got to know this fact, there have been similarities between the production of, not the song,
sure,
but the production of the song in Milo Zuloto and Ghost Stories. Like, there are those.
It has sort of a similar taste, but again, like, Milo Zuloto is more like a, I would say, a party album for me.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you've got some guy from the stars over here.
Yeah. We got Every Teardrop is a Waterfall. Yeah. And, like,
Yeah.
So
if you look at the album from before we start the track list, this is for that. So if you look at the album from a fresh perspective where you have no background and maybe you have or have not heard Coldplay, there are some surprising songs. I mean, it starts off with this, you know, a new kind of sort of zone and just drives you through it. And every song has a different surprise element. I mean, sort of those, you see different figurines, as you mentioned, in each song, like a different setup, a different,
Like, a lot of songs, they sound very, like, how do I put into words, like, they talk about loss, or they, like, you know, some of the songs have a positive approach towards life, or, like, you know, positive approach towards, okay, if something bad has happened to you, it's fine. Like, hope is still there. But at the same time, the videos are fucking dark.
The endings
dark.
As well.
Like, you know.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. The videos are dark.
Yeah.
Correct. So.
Okay. So I think, I guess let's just dive into it, right? The first track we have is Always In My Head.
Yeah.
So this is a song where I really love the intro. It's one of those songs where I just love driving to it. You know, it's like very soothing and it's got that, like, ambient music. You know, I imagine like Lake District or Snowdonia or something. But I think, as Suraj, you pointed out, right, it is, like all the songs on the album, it is very much a breakup song. But at the same time, I feel like if you just hear this song out of context of the other albums, it could be interpreted just as like a love song as well. Like,
it could be,
right, because he said, like, like, this, I guess, is to tell you you're chosen out from the rest. But it's the way the song is put together, it's because of context, you know, it's a breakup song. But I think just by the song itself, it's not very evident as a breakup song, right?
Correct. Yeah, that's right. I mean, the whole song, like, you know, if you read the lyrics, I think of you, I haven't slept, I think I do, but I don't forget. It's like, you know, they've really nicely put in, like, things of what they would be imagining, like, you know, as a mirror image, like, you know, of, or whatever, like, you know, like, they've placed these scenarios of, you know, okay, what if this had happened?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I am facing this right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, always in my head.
Deciding moments, right?
Yeah.
Like, the deciding moments that you have in between, like, parting ways, breakups, or.
Correct. Like, exactly.
In love.
Correct. So, like, even if you're not there, you're always going to be in my head. So, it's that sort of a feeling. And obviously, like, you know, the way it starts up, like, you know, with a soothing sound of, like, you know, the electronic.
It's like a choir at the beginning, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like a choir, exactly. Ambient choir, like, you know, something like that. You never know, like, if it's going to turn out to be something like, you know, electronic dance music, but it doesn't turn out to be that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't be sure about that. Yeah. But, and it does something else to you, like, it's a whole other sort of a trip.
Yeah, interestingly, I think it's this song. It has, in one of the back, in sort of the background harmony, it has a, has Chris Martin's and Gwyneth's daughter singing in the background. I think her name is Apple. So I think it just goes to, again, saying how personal I think this whole album is to Chris Martin, right?
Okay.
Yeah, and I think that the ambient sound in the beginning, right? Isn't it repeated towards the end as well? Of the
album? It's repeated towards the end.
Well, I guess we'll get to it.
We'll get to it.
The long way round.
Okay. That's it.
I know, but it's a great start to the album.
Yeah,
it eases you into it.
So Always In My Head sort of opens its doors to a music that you didn't expect. Mm-hmm. Like
exactly.
with the beginning, that eerie sound, that the choir sound that you're saying. Like you begin with that, and then you just, and then there's a beat to the song which you didn't expect, and you know, the rhythm sort of flows you through the song, through the first track of.
Correct. It's more like you have no idea what you're going in for.
Exactly. So I have a closing note for Always In My Head. Mm-hmm. That so since it's been on repeat, it's been always in my head.
What?
You interrupted my whole segue for that. Okay, so right. So from Always In My Head, we get to the second track, Magic.
Yeah.
Now this track, I think when it came out, this was playing everywhere. Was this the first single off the album? Do you know, Suraj?
Not sure. I think this was the one.
Because I feel like this song was everywhere when it came out. So like,
It was everywhere. Yeah. It was everywhere. I think
it came out with a music video, like. The music video. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like the late 1800s, a magic show and black and white video. Yeah.
And it's got this very like catchy riff, you know, it starts off, it just hooks you. This is probably their most mainstream song on the album, I'd say, if that makes sense.
One of them. Yeah. But it's all like, you know, again, coming back to it, it's again, like the way I look at it, it's sort of a breakup song. Like, you know, magic again, it's about two people meeting and falling apart. Every time they're together, magic happens. But then when you're not together, like there's no magic left. So like so it falls on those lines.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty interesting.
No, I 100% agree. And I think, you know, even with that magic analogy, right, the lyrics are so well written. It's like, you know, when you have stage magic and you cut the person in two, and it's very much like cut me into two.
It's sort of an illusion.
Yeah, it's, you know, using that like analogy and really running with it. Of like stage magic, illusion.
Exactly.
And all of that, right? But it does it does sort of end on, it's one of those things again, right? Because the song kind of takes you through this journey of like this more emotional journey of breakup, right, in a sense. But it does end again on sort of like a positive note, right? Because it's like...
Yeah, like, do you still believe in magic?
Yeah, exactly. Well, yes, I do. So it's almost like saying either, you know, I believe that we might get back together or that I might fall back in love again. But it doesn't matter. The point is
that's
there's some sort of hope. There's some light at the end of the tunnel.
There's magic in everything, like, you know.
Yeah.
So you just need to find the right door to get into and... everything will fall in place, like, you know, even if you're devastated, even if you're broken up by a relationship, even if, like, no matter how bad everything is turning up for you, like, there is still hope and there is magic left in this world, so you can't deny that.
Sorry, can I just say Suraj has the nicest background out of all of us. What happened to our production value, Razi? Look at his lighting as well. He's like sitting in a studio or something.
Thanks. Paul did that for me, by the way.
Paul. Yeah. I knew. Nice. Special mention, Paul.
Shout out.
But since I heard Magic, there's so in the very last verse, he changes the "yes I do" to "of course I do," and that. So this is one of the songs. There is another song that I'll mention, but this is one of the songs where I don't know. I just felt Chris Martin sort of went with the flow and just
goes into the zone. Yeah.
Right. He did that. That's very much because yes I do, of course I do.
It's like improvising almost.
That change is very apt.
I feel like Chris Martin, of course, like a lot of great singers do that, but like he has a great thing for improvisation. Like even if you watch their live shows, like there are times when he is just tripping on his own and like, you know, he's just doing things that he wants to do. And like, you know, it's whatever version it may be, it'll be as beautiful as it was, like, you know, in the original. So I don't know how he managed to do that. But yeah, it's quite beautiful.
It's magic.
And there's with lyrics also, like, you know, if you would listen to their live concerts and stuff like that, like, he changes lines in between. Mm-hmm. And you would be like, okay, but this makes sense.
There's an improvisational aspect.
Music
making, right?
He just gets like all lost. Yeah. Sufi Punjabi.
Yeah. Well, he did have mentioning Sufi, I think he did mention that he met a Sufi teacher who introduced him to the idea of just like sitting with your experiences and the things you've been through and like alchemizing it. And I think he mentioned that as being one of the influences behind the album Ghost Stories.
Okay. Oh, nice.
Point, I thought.
Wow.
He said, I didn't know what it meant, but I trusted that it would work. And the more that I was learning about that, the more music just started flowing through.
Yeah. So years ago, I was watching a video of Chris Martin where he was Razi would be familiar with this thing, which I'm just going to talk about. He shared the idea of purge writing. So this is how he writes lyrics. Purge writing is something you write things for like 10 minutes just to clear up your head and then you burn it. Yeah. So it's like a process which he used to follow for writing his songs, which again, when you're talking about this Sufi thing going on, like it just reminds me of that.
That sort of influence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Like burn the past.
Yeah. Very much.
But it
clears you.
Razi, anything else to add, Razi, on to magic?
I'm
gonna do that with every track now.
it's magical, I guess.
Okay.
That's how to end it.
Nice. So from magic, then we move to the third track, Ink.
Mm, yes.
Another very, very catchy breakup song.
Yeah. Again.
But, you know, very sort of that ambient sort of lounge feel to it.
Okay. And this song especially, like, you know, this is their one song where I think he's just explaining, like, you know, Chris Martin is just explaining the kind of love that he would want to, like, you know, do, like, as in the kind of person that he becomes while he's in love. Like, you know, when he, I think the lyrics goes like, got a tattoo that said together through life, carved in your name with my pocket knife. So, like, this sounds in a way like, you know, I got a tattoo. Like, as cliche as it sounds, it is something personal, like, you know, which he's trying to say. And, like, it's something that he would want to do.
Yeah.
It's his idea of love. And that's what I feel. Like Ink is one of those songs.
That's a very indie idea, if you see. So whenever the line comes up, carving our names in the tree with a pocket knife.
Yeah.
Like I always picture like this indie vibe sort of visual that there's this girl, there's this boy, and the boy takes out his pocket knife and he just, I mean, it's that feeling that you get out of it.
Yeah. Okay.
And he's talking about, like, you know, if this is my idea of love and this is how I, like, you know, just swim into the river of dreams.
Yeah.
That, like, the idea of love is that, you know, his idea of love, which I get from this song, is that he's a believer of dreams. Like, you know, in the sense that he lives in that fantasy land. Like, you know, okay, the idea of love would be larger than life.
I mean, he's definitely a romantic, so to speak.
He's right? Definitely a romantic. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
That's for sure. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's not, you know, love is not just an emotion, right? It's for him, it is, again, going back to the previous track, it's magic. There's something magic bigger happening than the two of them, essentially.
Correct.
Yeah, and I mean, that is, you know, it's very true. You got to imagine, right? I mean, they have a daughter together, right? So it's created out of love. So it's very much that grander than life, sort of greater than the sum of its parts.
Right. So this is the second song where, in the end, again, Chris Martin sort of flows into the music because I think he ends on a harmony, and the last the last segment of his how many, he chuckles
so much.
If you listen to it carefully. Yeah. So then, and then the last harmony chuckles, like you hear the chuckle out, and I guess he sort of went on and did an extra harmony and just realized, oh wait, and then stopped.
Too high. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, I didn't notice that specifically, but now that you mentioned it, I'll go back to it. Good. So yeah, I get from Ink, we get to the fourth track, True Love.
Yeah.
Now, this, I think this to me is again, one of the most standout tracks. For some reason, it's just, it's the music, you know, firstly, the melody is not very, you know, it doesn't follow a very traditional pattern. It's a bit unpredictable, like the way the melody of the song goes. And I guess the lyrics as well, it's one of the things where it's, because you know, if I try to pay attention to lyrics generally, especially when I'm going to do like a Shuffling Notes episode.
Yeah.
And it's just very interesting because there's like this sort of weird, like you could call like a dichotomy or like a duality going on, right? Because he says like, there's like, I wish you could have let me know what's really going on below. I've lost you now, you let me go, but one last time. But there's this thing where, you know, and I guess we all might have experienced that at some point where perhaps in a relationship, it doesn't have to be romantic, like any relationship, the other person's feelings start to change, or they're not honest about that change. And suddenly, you know, you feel like almost like a betrayal because you feel like they didn't tell you the truth. But then he goes on and says, so tell me you love me. If you don't, then lie. Oh, lie. He pretty much, there's like this irony going on where it's like, that is what happened to him. But he's also...
So if you think of it, if you think of it like now that you've told me about it, True Love is like a follow-up song to Ink. Like, you know, if you think of it like it's a follow-up song to Ink in a very weird way, that Ink is a song where he's trying to define his idea of love, and True Love is where his love, like, you know, dream shatters.
Yeah, and... I mean, like, True Love, by the time you hear True Love, you're like, man, this guy's heart is broken.
Yeah,
like,
it's not this guy's heart is broken, exactly.
Up. This guy is, trying to pick up the pieces, you know?
Correct. It's... Like, you know, there's, like, the girl has probably stopped expressing, or, like, you know, there's something going wrong in the relationship. Like, you know, it's...
And there's, you have these conflicting feelings where you want honesty, but at the same time, you're scared of the honesty.
Exactly. So
you want them to keep lying to you, and it's
exactly like
it captures at one point of time. Well.
Yeah, at one point of time, everything seemed so perfect, but
yeah,
what has become of this song?
Yeah,
so love is, and if you look at the video, you wouldn't feel like, you know, the lyrics are actually so hard. Like it's like a lot of people find the video very cute.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but
I'm gonna be honest with you. I haven't actually seen any of the videos. I've seen Magic,
you should,
because that was everywhere. Okay.
Oh, you should.
But I haven't actually seen any of them. The thing is, I may have seen them. Like, if I watch them now, I'm like, oh yeah, I saw that when that came out. But right. I don't have memory of them.
I'm not sure this.
Rezzy, you've been very quiet.
I just have one thing to add about this. Like, again, the end. Firstly, the "Tell me you love me. If you don't, then lie" is something that, you know, he's talking about something pure, something like love, and then he's asking that lover to, you know, I don't care. I mean, I don't care. Just, I don't care if you love me, you don't love me, just lie about it.
There's a helplessness.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, helplessness. And, exactly. That's the word.
Desperation.
And the,
and I'm just going to open the synonyms ending. Now and just, sorry. Carry on, Rezzy.
The ending goes like, so the ending over here is, you kind of find yourself in a jungle, if you remember the ending. It's like birds calling out to each other. There are two birds talking, and then there is an owl that comes in between, and then there's another bird. Like, if you see it visually...
Is this like a fever dream you had while listening to the song? It's very specific.
Yeah, that was quite specific.
Right, he's like really going... No, but carry on. Sorry, Rezzy.
So those, I mean, I guess when you listen to that part, it's right at the end, and it ends with that sort of birds talking to each other, and maybe lover birds, or something, I don't know, but it's completely that
it's the birds.
Deep forest kind of feeling, you know, the deep forest that you get those sound, the hooting sounds of the owl.
It's and that stuff, ambience, you know? Almost, isn't it? It like creates ambience, an environment. Exactly.
Actually, like even their guitar, like Guy Berryman and Johnny has done some exceptional work in this song, I must say. Like, you know, towards the end of it, like they've made a, there was a solo, I don't know if you remember, there's a solo which is really beautiful, which comes towards the end.
That's the thing, musically, this song is just, for me, because like the first three songs, I enjoy them and they really set the stage. But for me, this song starts to bring it home, really, because like, there's so many interesting things happening at once, and it's almost like, how many ways can you sing about a breakup? Apparently a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
And still keep it interesting, right? I asked Adele the same question. No. I asked Taylor Swift the same question. No. So, but it's true though, right? Because a lot of the greatest art is created is very personal, right? Because that's when you dig deep into the emotions, and there's so many different ways to sort of relay those emotions, and within you, there's so many conflicting emotions, right? So it's just about getting it out in the right way. And I think this song, True Love, really, really captures that, both musically, lyrically, the way it's put together. To me, it's one of the more standout songs.
I agree. True Love was my favorite of this album.
Was your favorite? I still can't pick any one song, man. Like, it's really hard for me.
Yeah, like pick one kids. Song from them.
Yeah, I mean, it's really favorites. Difficult.
Yeah,
they're all my favorites.
No, I know how you feel. I know how you feel. 100%.
My new favorite is the next song.
Ah, oh, okay. Well, nice. I was gonna say from True Love.
Yeah, the OG Trippin song.
Yeah. So from True Love, we get to Midnight.
Yeah.
This song again, and I think whether you listen to this or stole my words there a little bit. Going on from True Love, Midnight again. It's one of the like very standout songs to me. Just a bit of background, you know, this song was co-produced by John Hopkins. I think it was like from a previously unreleased John Hopkins song. They sort of adapted that into more of sort of put their spin on it. But it's you know, I think Rezzy, you might relate to it, you might not, but it's, you know, that Lifehouse song Storm. This song Midnight almost sort of reminds me of Storm in the sense of like, it's just suddenly it just stops and it's slow. But it has that ambience to it. It has that music in the background, and it's just, it's like, it's almost like talking, right?
Yeah.
And to me, it really reminded me, not musically, but just the way the song is put together. It evoked, I would say, that similar feeling I get when I would listen to that Lifehouse song Storm, in the sense of like going through a really dark time, but not giving up.
Not giving up.
I think the word that you're looking for.
Yeah.
The word that you're looking for is transcendental.
Yeah, transcendental.
Yeah. Can't say that.
But it's like it's that leave a light on, a light, you know, like when he says that, it's
oh, that's beautifully just, done. Like
And it's very much, it feels like that sort of like he's going through this very, and you got the voice modulation, the vocoder or whatever it is. And it's like, you know, things get worse before they get better. Like
exactly,
whatever, you know, analogy you want to use, but it's just, it evokes that feeling of like you're going through a very, very dark period.
Very dark phase, exactly.
Midnight, but you know, dawn. He says dawn. Right in the darkness before the dawn. It's correct. There is that hope, that light that at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, there's probably a follow up song. Yeah. Again, it all makes sense now. Yeah. After True Love.
Yeah. It's like going through the phases, right?
As going
like,
through the phases, exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's beautiful, like what you were talking about, not losing hope. Like that's pretty much like what the album is trying to say. Like, you know, it's like about your past actions, and it really is going to matter in your future, like, you know, what you make of it now and like in your future. So it's
the starting of Midnight is a little bit like With or Without You from U2, if you
remember. I don't know, man.
I mean, I'll have to hear it back to back, but
There is a similarity. There is a similarity, and
maybe.
And
because that was a song I heard a lot back in the day. So, yeah.
But for the lyrics, it's it was very interesting for me to, you know, have to see or hear two verses which they say. I think, I mean, he's not really singing, where he says, "Leave a light on." So it's like, it's one sentence or one verse, but they break it down into standalone verses, which make it very interesting, because there is "Leave a light" and there's hope in there, a light on, and yeah, there's hope there, like, mm-hmm, you know, there's that kind of, I mean, there's a weird connection that I felt for this. And also I felt with the digital organs, there was a little bit of Who that I
see.
in this midnight specifically.
And you know, like towards the end of the song, like how like it starts up really slow, and then like towards the end of it, like it kind of like the amalgamation of so many things, like, you know, it's like your head is gonna fucking burst now. Like, you know, and then
it's a very emotional journey.
Like it's almost like going through a catharsis sort of a thing.
100% agree with that. And I guess from that sort of, you know, I think Midnight really, it almost feels like a middle point of you know, like if this was like a old Bollywood movie, this is where you'd have the intermission, almost, right? It's like Zack Snyder's Justice League, right? This is like where you'd have the intermission, right? To me, it kind of feels like it kind of brings the album to a stop in a good way, and then we move on to Another's Arms. And I think, to your point, Sura, I kind of see it now. Because, yeah, you see that journey now. Another's Arms, it's almost like that next phase of that.
Exactly.
And musically as well, right? It sort of follows on. I mean, one thing is, though, I was looking at the lyrics, and I think it's, like, obviously, when you hear it first, it sort of sounds like, you know, like his ex has found someone else. And he's kind of like having that, going through that pain. But also, I think in the song, I might have missed it, but in the lyrics, it's not specified. It can even be him.
Yeah, exactly. It can be him.
It's like when you try to move on, like you see the other, and it could be both of them, right? You see the other person moving on, so you try to move on as well, but it just doesn't work. And that, like, you know, then the chorus.
Yeah, sure. It's about like when you go through a breakup, you could take, like, you know, anything from your partner. And it could mean like hundreds of things, like, you know, okay, you've probably broken up for the best, but like when you find someone, or like, okay, it changes everything if the other person has gotten a partner and like you're alone, that just fucks with your head. But even if you've been able to crack through it, like, you know, okay, like, you know, okay, I'll like date someone or whatever, like I'll just get into a religion just for the fuck of it. Like, I feel the initial phase of it is very important. Like, or I feel it's very, it's kind of very tricky. Like, you know, it could just go all wrong because you're kind of used to all of that shit. And then it kind of changes. Like, you have no idea, like, what you've become. Or like, you know, where would you want to go?
Yeah.
Or what route would, what do you really want? So like, it's kind of like lots of emotions that it's kind of like, you know, living in nostalgia, like which you start. Which
you're stuck in the past.
You're stuck in the past. Like, I think the lyrics start with "late night watching TV, used to be you here beside me." Like that says it all. Like, you know, you were here right now, but I mean, there's probably a new person here right now, but I just don't feel the same. It probably means that.
No, 100%. You're stuck in the past. You got to make your own future, Barry.
Yeah, exactly.
I have to ask you, Raj, were you going through a breakup when you heard this album?
Oh, sorry?
were you going through a breakup when you first?
I was actually not. I was not. Okay. And so to be very honest, this album, the journey for this album is a little weird. So this friend of mine, Adav, him and me, like, you know, we were actually struggling in Bombay at that time. We like Adav was working as a graphic designer and I had no work. I had no work. So I would just go to his place and, like, you know, he's the one actually who made me listen to Coldplay. And he was the one who made me listen to Ghost Stories. And I
was
remember
he going through a breakup as well? No.
No, I don't think so.
He just was really into the music.
Both of us were not. Yeah. Both of us were not. Yeah. But there was something in the music that we would just, like, you know, okay, ye cut kar dena, but we would get high and, like, you know, listen to these songs, listen to Coldplay all the time. And there was this certain thing of, like, you know, just getting transported to some other world, which I had never felt before, like, you know, with an album. Like, I was new to, like, such, like, you know, rock music. I had not even listened to that much of Pink Floyd before that.
Yeah.
And this was something really fresh for me.
Yeah.
So, when...
And I guess it's like... And I guess it's not just a breakup, right? Like, just that message, the way that the songs are put together with that light at the end of the tunnel and that fact of going through a dark time, those feelings are a bit more universal, like that helplessness.
It's very universal.
Feeling,
so
frustration, that nostalgia of the good times in the past.
Exactly.
You know?
So we were trying to work on a concept, like, you know, to write it down or something like that. For us, these songs, what they really meant were, like, you know, your love for something could be, like, you know, it could be anything. Like, it doesn't need to be, like, you know, certain gender or, like, anything else. Like, it could be your passion, for example. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if filmmaking was my passion or, like, if music is somebody else's passion, these songs would mean, like, you know, exactly the same for them. Like, this would mean, like, a lot for them too. Like, you know, if they take it in that way, like, you know. So we always saw it in that way. We initially, like, the more and more I listened to it, like, it became like a thing that, you know, okay, these are breakup songs, but not necessarily, like, you know, with a person. It could mean anything. For some people, it would be materialistic, for example. Like, I'm not sure if I should say this, but for some people, it should be materialistic, or for some people, it could mean anything. Like, you know, for example, their parents or, like, their siblings or anything, like, you know, their passion, like people who are not able to follow up their dreams and they got into doing something else, but like, you know, stuff like that. So we really took it in that sort of a way. Yeah. And for us, breakup in at that point meant this, like, not really, like, you know, ki haan, like you were in a relationship with a girl or something.
Yeah, there's like a deeper connection to it, right?
Yeah, there was a deeper connection to it in that sort of a way.
Nice.
Also, like, we were trying to, like, you know, really find, like, I was going through that phase where I didn't know if I had taken a, like, you know, positive route towards my life. Like,
I wasn't sure. There's the uncertainty around it, yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if I was going to make it over here, if I was going to survive in a city like Bombay. It was very, like, you know, now that I think of it, ki haan, theek hai, sab ho gaya, but, like, at that point, you had no idea.
Yeah.
Like, you know, job nahi tha or, like, anything like that. So, yeah, in that sense, like, Coldplay played a really important part in that sense. Like, you know, at that point, like, Ghost Stories was this one album, which really pushed us into writing. Like, you know, you need to... start working hard, like, you know, and you need to follow your passion, you need to give it all. So it kind of motivated us. So that's probably one of the reasons why it is so personal to us.
Yeah.
Me. So yeah.
No, makes sense. Makes complete sense. I mean,
now,
like,
it makes sense.
Some of the best, like, albums or music memories, you could say, are those that are connected to, like, raw emotion that resonate with you at a very raw level. How about you, Razi? Were you going through a breakup?
Are you going through a breakup right now?
He's like, which one? How many did I go through?
Which one?
I'm listening.
I'm always feeling in others' arms, if that's what you're listening. But talking about the song, it's so it starts with a, you know, a visual premise. This is, I think, one of the first songs which starts with a visual premise in the sense of lyrics, where he goes body on my body, and then you get into the beat. And, there's another thing about the song that it doesn't let you unhook yourself from it.
Yeah.
With the rhythms, with the harmonizing, sort of backup falsettos, I think. But it's Chris Martin, but it's those, you know, those falsettos that are in the background, but they sort of carry on the song, and you can't unhear it while you're into the song. Like, there's no point where there are songs where they have false endings, but this song has no false ending. This song has no up or down. It's just a constant flow through the song. And I was actually confused if it's the lover's arms you lose all world, or the replacement of a lover, the rebound, or something like that.
That's what we were talking about. Like, I think it could mean like either of the people, and like it could mean a lot. I mean, another arms.
I mean,
it's sort of open to interpretation almost, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of applicable in the both the cases almost.
I don't know if you noticed, there is a looping guitar around 3 minutes. And it's an unnoticed element, and it just follows like two notes, like a high note and a lower note, and it follows through, and that adds an X factor. Or for me, it added an X factor to the song.
Yeah, I think this technique as well, like the reason why a lot of these songs, in this album, they create this sort of ambient, so you could say, like this environmental feeling, right, is what you see there with that guitar looping. You usually see it in like movie soundtracks and stuff. So they'll use these type of techniques where they'll have like, you'll have a guitar just playing two notes over and over in the background while you have other stuff happening. And the thing is, the way that they utilize the channels, the left and right channels, it creates this whole like sphere, you know, this whole sort of grand orchestra in a way. And I think they do it really well here with that combination of the electronic sounds and with the guitars. So it really does create that sort of ambient sounding, you know, as you were saying, like getting transported to another world, you know, feeling, you know, transcended.
Almost,
right. So it really captures that. And I think you really hit the nail on the head there with that type of like musical technique that they utilize.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes a long way. But once you notice it, you notice it.
True. Yeah. Now I can't unhear it. Like when I'm listening to the song and it's ending.
You're like, how the hell did I not hear that before?
Yeah. Exactly. It's like, I mean, it's been there, and it's really good. I mean, it adds so much to the music part of it. But I mean, well, I noticed it now. So that counts.
All right. Okay. Well, from Another's Arms, we get to the seventh song, Oceans. So I think this song is a bit more sort of acoustic based. It has some, you know, electronic drums and like synth sounds, but it is a lot more sort of acoustic.
Yeah, it's mostly Chris Martin.
Yeah. And sad guy, man. And how does this mean, Suresh? That was just mean.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. Like, when I look at him, he's like the happiest person to me. So,
yeah.
Like, you know, he always has a smile on his face, which is great. I feel a lot of rock band members don't do it. So.
Yeah. No, it really comes out in his music, right? Like what we were saying, no matter how dark some of the songs get, there is that like hope in them, in a sense.
Exactly.
I mean, I guess this song, I think it's kind of just more, I guess the message, I feel like it's again one of those messages of desperation, again going through the phases of a breakup, I suppose, where it's like, you know, I'm going to change, you know, come back.
I'm going to change,
I'm ready to change, right? Where initially, where you might not have even agreed that it was your mistake or you did anything wrong, you get to this point in almost like bargaining where you're like, okay, fuck it, you know, I'll change anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
And you but feel like that I'll, again.
Yeah, I'll accept the fact that, okay, this has happened, yeah, but like my life needs to move on. And yeah, that's pretty much what I feel about this song. Like, got to find yourself alone in this world to find yourself alone. Like, that's pretty dark. Yeah. That's pretty sad. You are alone, but at the same time, you need to accept, like, you know, okay, this was probably your fuck up or anyone's, whoever may be. But it probably just works like that. Mm. And there's nothing you can do or, like, undo. You know, it's you can't probably go to reverse and, you know, there's no such button as reverse and, like, straightening things up, that like it's not a movie. Like, life is not really a movie. Mm-hmm. So once
no such something yet.
Yeah, I mean, Doctor Who, aayega kuch karega. But it also like this song. It also like, you know, somebody who is in need of love. Like, you know, he's probably ready for all. Like, you know, he's just waiting for it. And but he feels that it's never going to happen. It's it's somewhat like in that sort of a zone.
Mm-hmm.
So this song, I mean, it's oceans, and it starts off with that submarine sound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I mean, I just sort of get drawn back to Echoes.
Yeah.
And so the beginning of the song is like very much like Echoes, and the ending of this song, it reminds of High Hopes. That's also by Floyd. If you, I mean,
of course, and I think I was gonna say the ending, right, with the sound, it's very much like a
with the bells, clocks,
almost, right, like the almost like the soundscape is like sound. Mm-hmm. Towards the ending of this track, it's amazing.
And you know, by the end of the song, it like soothes you down with its fade out, and then you're in the and then you're in a sky full of stars.
Yeah,
if you look at it, it's like oceans is a launch. Oceans is a launch. And
exactly,
and then Sky Full of Stars is like you bursting through the sound barrier with the
correct.
And then, you know, going through the stars and just going being there.
Well, there we have it, a sky full of stars.
So
this song was co-wrote and co-produced with Avicii,
right? That's right.
Mm-hmm.
This was again like influence. One of the this was again one of the most like, you know, you would call the party songs or the club songs.
This is more like a dance track, isn't it?
The dance track, yeah.
Yeah, I got like some house influences here and there.
Again, it is a dark song, but
yeah. Well, I think what's interesting as well is like it starts off with just the piano, right? And then it builds up from there. So it doesn't feel out of place as if it was like a dance song that just started off as a dance song.
Yeah, very true.
But yeah, I think, you know, I feel like it has similarities almost to Midnight in the sense of like that, the heaviness of the synth, but it obviously it's very different in terms of it's very danceable. But it's, I think again, like now you put that in my head, Suraj, about that sort of that journey of like going through the breakup and progressing from like one stage to another. And this is very much that, right? It's like, you get to this point where it's like you at least, the parts of the lyrics that I paid attention to really made me feel like it's like, it doesn't matter what happened. It doesn't matter what you do. You know, if I love you, I'm going to love you, you know, like it's like, there's almost like an acceptance, right? Cause like, you know, I don't care, go on and tear me apart. I don't care if you do.
Yeah, exactly. That's
Sky Full of Stars. I think I see you. And also that reminds me of some of the artwork, you know, that Sky Full of Stars with like,
pictures
being drawn.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's again one of the standout songs to me. This
100%.
But it really brings that acceptance part of the breakup a little bit, where it's
acceptance like, part of the breakup. Correct.
Not complete acceptance, but in the sense of like, you know what, you can move on or you can do whatever you want, but I'm gonna be me. But I'm okay with it in a sense.
I feel a lot of it also means like for me, what I take from it is that you stop having grudges after a point, like, you know, in a breakup.
Yeah, like exactly.
You yeah. stop thinking about all of those petty things which would really bother you. Yeah. And this song really opens up everything for you that, you know, yeah. okay, everything is done. You are on your way to, like, you know, a new hopeful land. And you don't need to get bothered by, like, you know, those past occurrences which has happened or like whatever they must have done to you. But like every yeah. past occurrence will make you a new and a better person every yeah. day if you think of it. So
you learn as long as you learn from it.
As long as you learn from it. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, that's important.
And now from A Sky Full of Stars, we finally get to the last track, or shall I say tracks of the album, O. yeah. But I think, isn't it? I think the first 4 minutes are technically titled Fly On, and I think the last minute is titled O, right, Suraj?
Okay, that's right.
Yeah. But I think they just, if on the streaming service, I think they either just say O or it's O in brackets, Fly On.
Well, on mine it says O and in brackets, Hidden Track.
Okay.
It's just very weird. O in mine.
Yeah, so I think that Hidden Track is actually O. But I think the first 4 minutes of the song is actually Fly On.
Correct.
Yeah. And actually go ahead.
O is like an ender to like everything. So
outro.
Fly On. It's yeah.
Cool. Yeah. I'll get to the O in a second. Actually, I have some thoughts.
Yeah.
But I think Fly On might be my favorite track of the album. because it's just, I can just listen to it and it's soothing, but it feels like a rebirth. It feels like a new beginning. It feels, you know, and there's a lot going on in there, you know, as he talks about like the birds and like the analogy to love or however you want to, you know, sometimes they arrive, sometimes they're gone, like love is fleeting. But it's, and I guess you could, you know, compare it to like butterflies in your heart, like flocks of bird in a sense, but it's the way it captures all of those feelings. And it really just feels like, there's an aspect of it about moving on, but it's almost like, again, going back, like transcending, right?
Yeah, exactly.
This song really hits it for me, you know?
Yeah.
That sweet song.
It does that. Like, it's kind of like, you know, that sort of feeling, like after everything, like, you know, after a breakup or post-breakup, like, you know, you've gone through, it's sort of like, you know, accepting that you have made peace with it and you were really nice to me, or like, you know, whatever has happened to this whole process, it was great for me. It has made me a new person, and you're amazing, but I need to change my life.
Yeah.
Maybe one day I'll be as amazing as you, like, you know.
I mean, I've got the lines right here. So fly on right through. Maybe one day I'll fly next to you. And it's exactly that, right? But I just, this song just captures this. You can't really put your finger on that feeling that, you know, it evokes.
Yeah.
Right.
It's also one of those songs which is put me into sleep, like, really nicely a lot of times.
Yeah.
Like, I would really hear it. Yeah, very calming, very soothing, and, like, again, like, sort of a catharsis, you know, that sort of a feeling is there. And yeah.
So, guys, I just want to ask both of you, what stage is this of the breakup, since you guys have been quite
expert? I think this is that, right? This is that final stage of moving on, of like
making
your peace, right? Because, like, you know, A Sky Full of Stars was acceptance, I think, at some level.
Yeah.
While O kind of is just, or Fly On, I guess, it's kind of just, you've accepted it and now you're sort of almost beginning this next stage of your life.
Yeah.
You're moving on, you're flying, you know, it's that rebirth, that new beginning.
And you've made peace with all of your problems, like, you know. Yeah.
You're enlightened.
You're enlightened. Whatever was bothering you, like, it's all done. It's all in the dustbin now, and you can just move on and fly on. But yeah, again, at the same time, what I really like about these lyrics are that it doesn't give you a, like, you know, fuck you sort of a feeling, like,
At the
end of a breakup, like, you know, when you listen to most of the metal songs, they're always trying to, like, you know, tell you that, okay, this was really hard to me. Or like, you know, the best thing about this whole album or like this song, the way it sums up is that it kind of lets you be in peace that, you know, whatever has happened, it's probably happened for the good. And like, again, those things like hope and it's like, you know, every day you learn something new. Like, even if like, for example, there are a lot of days when you have like, you know, bad days at work or like probably like a kid in a school, like, you know, if he's done something which has gotten him into some sort of a trouble. But like at the end of the day, it's kind of like, you know, getting him into that zone where he will learn and he will get through it. Okay, this is something which I'm not supposed to repeat.
Yeah,
I will. And I have a part of you in myself. Yeah. I have a part of you in my heart. I am going to be this person. I am a better person now. Agar abhi relationship mein hote, it would have been probably better. But now it's all gone. It's done. So, yeah, it's that sort of feeling which really makes it special.
Yeah. Razi, you've been very quiet.
I mean, it's the whole album, I would say, I just never looked at it from a love perspective.
Yeah.
I mean, as it clearly is, as I mentioned, it's a familiar story in an unfamiliar kind of note.
Mm-hmm.
And all the songs have this, they all, as Suraj mentions, they all have this positive vibe, not like the metal songs where someone's dissing someone or someone's dissing themselves.
Yeah.
But it's just this new perspective on life, on love, on stages of breakups. But those stages of breakups are not related to love or not related to anything else. But it's like a standalone chapter in someone's life. Every song is like that. Like, always in my head is can also be something, you know, that you've met someone new or you've met this old person who's still in your head and they can't sort of leave you. And then you've got magic and ink. And I mean, it goes on, but it, as you said, it does go on in the same stages as a breakup, but it also has this, all of these songs have this a message that also you can take standalone.
Definitely.
I mean, Midnight is a mid track, but it's talking about a lot more things than of how to achieve happiness probably. And you know, like leave a light on again. I mentioned it's hopeful and it leaves you with that. If you just listen to that one song
of
the album, it leaves you with that feeling of hope, that leave a light on. And that's where it ends. And it all of these songs have the same feeling to them. And A Sky Full of Stars, again, it's a sad song in a party way, a remix of it.
Yeah.
But it's also so positive. Like, it's so much positive energy.
Yeah.
Because at the end of it, you're a sky full of stars.
Yeah.
And that, and and obviously O ends on a similar, in a similar tune,
all started,
the beginning of the album.
Yeah.
And if you actually put it on loop, it works because it's the same music that continues.
Yeah.
So I was going to say, like, that's why I think that, you know, that last bit at the end and that is essentially, that is titled O, right? And it almost, it sort of feels like that's what the point is, right? It's like a loop.
Yeah, it's like a loop.
Like,
You're probably going to fall into it again.
And it's also the beginning of the album, and it's also titled O. Yeah. So it feels like it's sort of referencing that sort of infinity of
going
through.
Probably the beginning of another breakup.
Exactly, right. And but even if you play the album, it works because it just sort of it just resumes into the first track.
And I just got reminded of Eminem's Puke, and like, there I go thinking of you again.
But yeah, I think overall this was it's a very sort of it's a deeply personal album, I think. And both lyrically as well as musically, I think they've it's definitely in I mean from like a production perspective, right, the risks taken in this album. Not all the songs are like very mainstream appeal. I mean, I think Sky Full of Stars is the only one that really has, and Magic, I suppose, that sound that you might, you know, as a producer, you might be like, oh, this is going to be great. But a lot of the other songs are very sort of just their own thing. And they just kind of run with it. And I think it really makes this album unique.
That's true.
Yeah, guys, any sort of closing thoughts? Yeah.
To round it up from my perspective, I would ask, you know, what for both of you, what were the initial thoughts? The first time, I think, Prankit, this was your first time listening to the album as a whole.
Yep.
And I think, well, Suraj has already mentioned, but what is it that you took away, like just in one sentence, what is it that you took away from the album? Because it's a story, and it's a story that you don't really pay attention to. I mean, right now, because we're discussing it, so you guys pointed out that it's a flow. But I mean, these are parts of someone's life at some points of time. And so what is that one sentence that you would like to, you know, give out for stories as a whole?
Well, like the first time when I heard the whole album, I mean, definitely I was like, the guy's really got his heart like smashed to pieces, you know, like he is really like he's poured his heart out in this album. And I think even now that is what my takeaway is, in terms of, you know, it's something very deeply personal, but it's very raw, and the sound is also very like raw in certain parts of the album to like reflect that. But it does end on that sort of note of flying on, moving on. But yeah, I just think it's something very personal and raw. And it's just a guy just putting his heart out, you know, this is what he has.
Yeah. The other thing would be that, so yeah, it's deeply personal to the band. And the other thing was, which really intrigued me, was the whole album sounded like one whole song. Like this one whole song, which had like so many emotions, which were amalgamated towards the end. Like, you know, it all sums up like about this one phase of your life. Like, you know, it's not life, but that one particular phase of your life, which really transforms you into a newer or a better person. So yeah, for me it did that, like, yeah, you know, right. transforming
it is that the transformation, I think, is a big part of this journey, isn't it, from the first song to the last song.
From the first one.
It's a good one.
Yeah, but it does start on a happy note with Always in My Head, and it ends on a happy note. Fly On, yes, and even in Sky Full of Stars, like since Sky Full of Stars, it sort of gets that happiness.
Is it like Always in My Head starts with something, a start of a relationship, like, you know, when you're going all crazy and you want to give it everything, like, you know, you can, and then it's that journey. Like, you know, when you really want to fall in love, or when you really are in love with something, and it's about that phase. Yeah. Like, you know, no matter if it's a person, like I said, no matter if it's a person, or it could be anything, like, you know, your work, your passion, or your job probably, but it's just about that one phase where you where you get like you know all
yeah
kya bolte usko mukti ko kya bolte like you know that what do you call
so
that?
Free yourself from yourself. In a sense you become enlightened or you I think it's the better analogy is like yeah you free yourself from all of that baggage in a certain sense.
That baggage exactly
expose yourself to your deepest memory fear has no power and the,
your freedom shrinks and vanishes. You are free.
Nice.
Jim fucking Morrison.
Nice. cut. That's
right. 27 years.
Cut it out.
What a life.
Imagine Jim Morrison and Coldplay playing together.
All right, guys.
Oh, Spider-Man. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, sorry.
Before we go completely off the rails. But yeah, do you guys have any other closing thoughts? And I think you've summed it up really well, Suraj. You know, it really is that transformation, that journey. But yeah, I guess, you know, thank you for being with us today.
Yeah, so much.
It was great to get a super fan's perspective. fan number one.
I don't know if I can call myself that. There'll be bigger fans than me, but yeah, like
the biggest.
and who decides that? Huh? Who decides that?
But yeah, thanks for joining us today. It's been very insightful. Yeah. It's always great to get other perspectives on this, on our very first Knights of the Round Table. And guys, thank you very much for tuning in. And we will see you next week or maybe in 2 weeks' time. We will have to see. With another video. Thank you. Bye.
It's still in my head, just saying.
So the first track we have is Always in My Mind.
Always in My Head.
Always in My Head.
Always in My Okay, I'm gonna redo that again. The first track. Did you hear that, Razi? That's too major, Tom.
I phased out
of existence.
Lego.
We're talking about a sky full of stars.
Yes, Suraj, have you